What is going on with Teresa and Jennifer and all these Bravo Stan accounts? We have Kyle Richards that seems to be moving on from Mauricio because she's officially dropped the Umansky last name. And then we have the real reason that Brittany was done with Jax being spilled by her Valley co-stars. Let's get into it. You're listening to No Filter with Zach Peter, your go-to source for all the latest pop culture and reality TV tea, served fresh all week long. Now, let's dive in. Welcome on in. Welcome on in. Welcome on in. What's going on, everybody? I hope you had a great weekend. I hope you enjoyed your Cinco de Mayo. Maybe you had a little Cinco de Drunko. And if you did, good for you. Just wanted to let everybody know that if you didn't catch the announcement over the weekend, I will be at Schwartz and Sandy's this Tuesday. Doors open at 5 p.m. I'm going to be hosting the Vanderpump Rules finale watch party. So if you are local to Los Angeles, then come on down to Franklin Village, Schwartz and Sandy's. Franklin Village. Let's get it. Oh, yeah. Franklin Village, doors open at 5. The finale will begin at 8 p.m. Pacific, so come on in. No, we will not be live streaming it. I don't even think we're going to be recording it for the podcast necessarily. So it's just going to be a fun night out. So if you get to come and enjoy, come on out. Let's have a good time. Let's have some drinks. Let's do a shot ski together. We've got some fun jewelry from Kyle Chance. So there are these like iconic Taylor Swift earrings that she used in her music video that everybody's like obsessed with. They're actually really cool. I'm going to be giving some of those jewels. I'm going to be dishing out some drip. I'm going to be like, you get some Taylor Swift jewels. You get some Taylor Swift jewels. Well, they're earrings. They're not jewels. I think they're like gold or something. They're really pretty though. I've got some Schwartz and Sandy's merch and some Tom Tom merch. Maybe I'll get Schwartz to give me one of the Tom Tom sweaters. Is that what I should do? Should that be my outfit? The Rachel, the Rocky Bang Bang Tom Tom lightning bolt sweater. Could you imagine? If that's what I wore, just that. Remember when she went to BravoCon, she had the little sunglasses on, she had the sweater on. That would be hilarious. Now, I love Schwartzy. So when he called and asked me to host the finale party, I was like, yeah. So come on down, Schwartz and Sandy's. Tuesday, May 7th for the finale of Vanderpump Rules. Come on down, guys. It's going to be a good time. I've got some of my friends that are coming, some of your favorite podcasters and Bravo creators. I've invited them out, so they will be there as well. I don't know if they're going to be in the show or not in the show. Whatever the show will entail is TBD. We will put it together, but we're going to have a good time. There's going to be a DJ, prizes, all that fun stuff. So come on down, Schwartz and Sandy's Tuesday. Like I said, finale begins at 8 p.m. And immediately after the finale, I'll be getting it down. Okay. That said, let's get into all of the tea. Congrats to Ariana Maddox. It was just announced that she will be returning to Chicago the Musical in NYC this August. So you get it, Ariana. Get it, girl. She's going to be coming on back for round two. Is this the first like Bravo Leb to get a second round? Damn, they didn't even give Erika Jayne a second round. But that's because COVID like shut everything down. But yeah, no. I mean, you go for it, Ariana. Get it, girl. Good for her. Congrats. We had the Summer House reunion that filmed. I didn't hear anything groundbreaking come out of that, to be honest with you. What else happened? Bethany. So according to Demois, you know, I like to take Demois with a grain of salt, but according to Demois, she is done with Paul. So apparently she called off her engagement. Demois is saying that apparently she called it off in February and now Paul's been spotted out dating. Bethany hasn't publicly addressed this. I know some people were speculating. They're like, we haven't seen Paul on her Instagram. We haven't seen Paul on her TikTok. Normally Paul's always around and we haven't seen Paul. Where's Paul? Where's Paul? Where's Paul? So Paul seems to be done. Oh, they cut Kyle's mullet. Yeah, I mean, is that really exciting, though, for the summer out? I mean, I'm glad that they cut Kyle's mullet. You know, I hate to say this, but the mullets are finally, they're kind of growing on me. It was kind of like the man bun, right? Like, no, everyone hated the man bun when that was, like, a trend. The mullet is kind of growing on me. Steele from the Broff Bros, I remember when he was going to get the mullet, and he asked if he should get it, you know, because I'm the gay in his life. And I told him to do the mullet because I knew if anybody could pull it off, he would pull it off. The mullet's in right now, and people like the mullets. Man buns were like trendy, and then they were kind of hot, and now they're like out of style. So anybody that like rocks a man bun now is like, ooh. But not a fan of the mullet, but it's growing on me. Some guys can pull it off. Most can. I don't like the hair trend of like people just trying to look as ugly as possible, where they have like the ugly bangs and the funky hair and the, all the different colors and all the things. I'm like, why are you trying? Like, I get it. Everybody like wants to be original, but like you can look originally good. You don't have to like look originally ugly. Like some people are like really going at, like the extra mile to like look really funky and different. I'm like, okay, this isn't Star Tours. We don't need to like, you know, put all sorts of rings all over our face. Like I can't, sorry. So Kyle was able to kind of rock the boat. Kyle's hot. Like, let's be honest. Kyle Cook is a cutie patootie. And I mean, he looks like he has a small dick and he'd probably come too fast, but like, you know, at least he's consistent. At least you know what to expect with Kyle, right? Or he's probably, most of the time he's going to have like whiskey dick. But it's okay. You love Kyle for that, you know? I mean, I'm trying to think of like the benefits to like want to marry Kyle. I'm trying to figure out like what's going on in Amanda's head. But, you know, it is what it is. Only Theo Vaughn should have a mullet. I don't think Theo rocks the mullet very well. Like, he rocks it in a funky way. But okay. Aside from Kyle getting rid of the mullet, I haven't heard anything groundbreaking come out of the Summer House reunion. But Bethany and Paul seem to be done. I believe it. I don't know why she keeps ending all these relationships. I thought Paul was like a great choice for her. I was very happy for this relationship. I thought it was going to be good. I thought it was going to be stable. I don't know. Maybe he's like, but listen, if she's the one that broke it off, then it sounds like he was willing to put up with her, you know, mukbang, let me eat all the crab legs in a hotel room, hotel motel. Just even having flashbacks about that. But the fact that he was willing to stay with her after that, like, that's love. That is love. And unfortunately, Bethany doesn't love love. She loves chaos. And Paul was probably a little too stable for her. But she was literally engaged to him. Like, I thought, like, we all thought she was going to marry him, right? I don't know. Okay. Thank you, next. Relationships ending. Well, we have Kyle Richards, and then we have Jackson Brittany. So Kyle Richards has officially removed Umansky from her Instagram, which we all know when it happens on Instagram, it's official. It's done. It's finite. It's over. Dunzos. The Witches of WeHo, dunzos. She's no longer Kyle Richards Umansky. Now she's just Kyle Richards. Mauricio's moved out. He's got his cute little West Hollywood condo. You know, good for him. We're going to be seeing him down at the Abbey now. I mean, he's moved out. She's dropped the last name. I feel like the only next thing is that they're divorcing, right? Like, next has to be the divorcement announcement, or they're just going to stay married for however long. But like, they can't stay married forever. I don't know. They can't stay married forever. Or maybe, isn't there a couple in Hollywood, like an old Hollywood couple that's like still married and they have like separate assets and they just kind of share everything and they like their family together. They're just like, they coexist. If that's the route that they want to take, you know what? Do you. Good for them. But it seems like if she's listen, when you unfollow someone on Instagram, I say that, but then I'm also like the type that's like, will impulsively unfollow people. I'll be like, I'm done with this. And I'll like unfollow someone. And then I'll be like, okay, that was a little dramatic. And then I'll like follow them back 2 days later. And then I get mad if anybody unfollows me. I'm like, oh, shots fired. Yeah. So looks like they're done. Bye, Kyle. Bye, Mauricio. Thank you, next. I think they're ready to move on to the next relationship in their life. I have heard, you would know this because you would have gotten the tea on Members Only, because I spill all that. Well, actually, no, I'm not going to tell you. That's Members Only exclusive about Kyle. But somebody DM'd me and they're like, do you know if Kyle signed her contract for Beverly Hills? Last time I heard, she had not yet signed her contract for Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, but I feel like she does this every season where she waits until the very last minute to sign it and she always ends up joining. I would imagine they're not going to not have Kyle on this new season. Like, Kyle's not leaving. She would have left by now. We would have heard an announcement by now. I don't think Kyle's leaving Beverly Hills. But I think she always, at the end of the day, waits until the last minute, then signs, comes back. I mean, they are expecting Kathy Hilton to make a couple of cameos this season. I heard that they're also expecting Jennifer Tilly to make a couple of cameos this season. They have the two newbies, Bassa and Eva LaRue, and Bassa Nova. What's her name? Bazoma St. John. So we have Bazoma St. John, which I basically confirmed a couple of different ways that Bazoma is joining, and we have Eva LaRue that's also going to be joining. None of them have spoken out about it because they're not supposed to, and that will kill their contracts. But those are the two newbies joining Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. It's going to be interesting, though. From what I looked up on the two of them, Boz, she's like a queen in Ghana. She has a very impressive resume. She was on, she was like a C-suite exec on, for Netflix, Apple Music. I believe Pepsi. Like, she's done some major stuff. She's got quite the impressive resume. And then Eva LaRue, daytime, soap actress. We've seen that before, but I don't know. Eva LaRue looks kind of boring, to be honest with you. Boz, I'm hoping, brings something because she's like a boss. But also, my hesitation with someone like Boz joining Real Housewives is when you have that sort of like this is why we don't have like real business women joining these shows, is because they want to protect their reputation in the business world. But also at the same time, I feel like people in other worlds outside of Bravoland don't really pay attention to what's going on inside of Bravoland. So I don't think it'll actually ruin her career. If anything, it may just give her career a second life. Same thing with Eva. I mean, Eva seems to be doing fine. She just got booked for another, was it General Hospital that she just got announced to be joining the cast of? So good for them. That's Kyle. That's Beverly Hills. Brittany and Jax. Okay, so this is where we, it's your bestie, Miss Westie. Let's get messy, okay? Because we have Janet, okay? Janet is the newbie on The Valley. She's the pregnant one, right? I don't even have to give you any more descriptive details other than she's the pregnant one because that's her identity. I saw Janet out at the Leukemia and Lymphoma Foundation charity event, the drag fundraiser with Sparkle, Jared Lips, Ariana's friend, went to that last weekend, saw Janet there. And Janet still very much gives off, I'm not physically, not like her body, but she just has like this presence of like, I'm pregnant. And I'm just like, I can't explain it. Again, it's not physical. I'm not saying her body, like she has a pregnant belly, but she just has this like, I'm pregnant energy that I'm just like, I can't explain it. She seems lovely, but she seems like one of those, what did they call Lisa Vanderpump, a sniper from the side? Janet is a low key, and Jax has said it. Jax is like, Janet's one of the most messy ones. And you know what? I'm starting to see it, Janet. I'm starting to see just how messy Janet is. And she wants to be like, I don't know, Christian's crazy. I'm done with crazy Christian. Like, she's very, she's a good reality star because she knows what she's doing. She knows how certain things, by saying, I'm done with crazy Kristen, but I've never seen Vanderpump Rules. I don't know anything about this. Like, bullshit. You know crazy Kristen. You know using that term is going to get the audience. Like, Janet is very methodical, right? And I think actually that's why she's playing this, like, I'm pregnant. Like, yes, she was actually pregnant during filming. But like I said, she just kind of has this, like, pregnant energy. Right. Again, it's not physical. No comment about her body. It's more of like just this essence that she gives off. And I think it's to come off meek. Right. She wants to be like, oh, you know, she wants to come off, you know, very tender and meek and, you know, a little more timid when I'm like, low key sniper from the side. And this is how we know. So she went on a podcast. She went on, I believe it was Nick Vial's podcast, The Vial Files. And she was talking about the moment that Brittany knew it was over with Jax. And she's like, and just the way that she tells the story and like low-key lets it slip, I'm just like, she does it in a calculating, smarter way. Yeah, she's very intentional about what she does and how she does it and how she says things and how she plants certain seeds. And I believe that Janet called Michelle a Republican, and I believe that Janet was insinuating that maybe she's racist and maybe she's transphobic or anti-whatever, like all the things that Janet was trying to like sprinkle in without actually saying it. And that's why Kristen looks bad, because Kristen's like, this is what I was told from Jasmine and Zach. And Jasmine and Zach are like, we didn't say that. Kristen kind of like ran with it. But I'm like, no, if the original source of this is coming from Janet, then Janet knows how to do things and how to say things without doing and without saying things. And it's interesting because the audience is very intuitive with this. The audience seems to be seen right through Janet's little, right through her little bag of tricks. But so on House of Villains season one, Jax Taylor was on. He was the first one booted. Sorry if that's a spoiler, but it's been out for months and months now. Get over it. So Jax is on House of Villains. And on House of Villains, he revealed that his wife, Brittany, had had a stroke, right? So everybody was like, oh my God, Brittany had a stroke. What? That's crazy. Whoa. Oh my God. Janet says that when he did that, Janet reached out to Brittany because she remembers the day that Brittany went into the hospital. And when she heard about Brittany having a stroke, I'm assuming the timeline of it's also a little strange, right? Because when Jax filmed House of Villains and when House of Villains actually aired, two very different things, right? It wasn't like live streamed. It's not like Big Brother where they're filming it as we're watching it. They filmed House of Villains in advance, then started airing it. I believe it was October, November. But so it aired that Jax said that Brittany had had a stroke. He, I believe, has since in interviews since that comment aired on TV, clarified his wife didn't have a stroke. At the time, he had very limited information. From the information that he did have, it appeared that his wife had had a stroke. And he has since retracted that and corrected that. I do think it's also a little strange that he's on television talking about his wife having a stroke, but he chose to stay and continue filming the show. He's like, ah, she's all right. Whatever. But so I guess when that aired, Janet says that she reached out to Brittany because she remembers taking Brittany to the hospital that day. And she was like, oh my God, Jax just said you had a stroke. Is everything okay? Are you okay? And Brittany's like, oh my God, fuck Jax. I'm so over him and his bullshit. And apparently like this was the moment Brittany had kind of like reached her threshold. This was the straw that broke the camel's back. But according to Janet, Brittany was really upset because Brittany was really upset because people were praying for her. And Brittany's like, oh my God, he can rot in hell. All them people are praying for me. And she was mad that like those prayers were being wasted on her when she didn't have an actual stroke. And I'm like, well, damn, you're about to have a stroke now. I'm surprised Jax hasn't given her a stroke with all the shit that he's put her through. That boy. So that's what Janet was saying. That Brittany was done. Messy Janet said that Brittany was done when Jax made that comment on House of Villains. And that was the exact moment that she knew it was over, which Brittany hasn't even talked about and which Brittany hasn't even outed. And Brittany's been asked about the real reason for their breakup. So it's just interesting that Janet would go on a podcast and kind of put that information out there, throw that little nugget out there and be like, I'm team Brittany. When I'm like, Brittany, she cracks me up. Like, out of all the things, the prayers are what broke it. Exactly. Prayer broke the camel's back. Prayer broke Brittany's back. It was the prayers that did it for her. That was where she was done with him. She was like, not when you do prayers. Not when you send Jesus after me. And that was the final straw.
Oh, man.
Well, it's because the prayers were wasted prayers. She didn't want people wasting their prayers on her. She's like, they could be praying for real people. They could be praying for all the mamas out there that need love. Oh, man. I thought Brittany was a Christian. She is a Christian. But she didn't want people wasting their prayers on her. But that was long before filming The Valley, too. Well, when did The Valley film? And when did... Because this would have happened when House of Villains was airing, which was last fall. House of Villains aired, what was it, October or November? I remember it was around Halloween. I just remember going to the I remember going to the premiere party for House of Villains. I don't remember when it was, but I remember we went to that. I want to say it was November, and it was like the week before. Oh, okay. So it premiered in October. Okay, so it was October. Oh, yeah. It was like the beginning of October, right? Something, and I believe the premiere party was like at the end of September. I don't know. The timeline's off. But so that's when it aired. Jax was only on what, like the first two or three episodes because he was the first one to be booted off. So it would have, this information, this moment would have happened in October. When did they officially split? Wasn't it like January that it like came out that they had split? And when did House of Villains, when did The Valley film? I wish we had a timeline. Well, no, The Valley had already filmed at that point because I remember when I had Kristen in my live show at the Bourbon Room, that was the week before Thanksgiving. So that was mid-November. And I remember at that point, they had already finished filming The Valley because The Valley was filmed like last summer. Okay. So if what messy Janet is trying to, Jekyll and Hyde Janet, what she's trying to say is that this moment happened in October, which is when Britney was done. And then we fast forward and they broke up January, February. So already that timeline is off. Even, I'm pretty sure Britney has had many fuck Jax moments, but I don't think this was the moment. So I think Britney's just, or not Britney, I think Janet's just being a little messy and trying to throw some digs at Jax. Janet wants to be, you know, front and center on Vanderpump Rules. And then she has Jason. Listen, her husband Jason is hot, okay? He seems like a really nice, balanced guy. But even the two of them, you know, and she's on The Valley, she's like, oh my God, I'm so stressed about this Christian stuff. And he's like, yeah, babe, this is too much stress for a pregnant woman. Like, I'm just like, I don't buy it. I don't buy it. They're acting like the boring couple of The Valley, but we all know the boring couple of The Valley are Danny and Nia. They've already taken that title. And I like Danny and Nia. Danny and Nia are a hot couple. They're a hot, like, balance. Like, I love Nia. She's precious and innocent. And she's the one that just had a baby and she's going through her postpartum depression and, you know, all of that. And Danny, great. And Danny's like, I just want to fix everything. I can honestly foresee the show moving forward without Danny and Nia. But, yeah. I like Danny. He's a cutie. And Nia's gorgeous and just so precious and sweet. I just like, oh, her. I just want to cuddle her up in like a little bassinet and just like, you know, rock her to sleep as Danny rocks me to sleep in his arms. But Janet and Jason, low-key, low-key. Jekyll and Hyde, Janet. I don't trust her. Don't trust. You know who I do like, though? You're not going to be surprised. Oh, Jesse. Oh, my favorite. Love Jesse. Love. Like, just like so toxic. I was on Access Hollywood's podcast, the Housewives Nightcap. Yeah, Housewives Nightcap with Emily and Lauren. And I was telling Lauren, I was like, oh, Danny is my favorite. Not Danny. I mean, I do like Danny. But I was like, oh, Jesse's my favorite. She's like, he's like the most toxic one. I was like, I know, it's my favorite. Oh, I love it. Danny and Nia totally avoid the drama. They do, Laura. That they do. Love me some Jesse. Oh, Jesse is like just everything about him that's just like so toxic. I'm like, oh, it makes me so excited. Ugh, me so horny. Yeah, I just love a toxic man. Chaos, right? If we can fight like cats and dogs and just like, oh, my God. Like, this is something that I need to be working out in therapy, guys. This is not healthy. But I don't believe Jekyll and Hyde Janet. I just don't. I think that, you know, she's trying to be messy. She's trying to be Team Britney. She's also trying to be on the side of the audience, knowing that everyone wants to rally behind Britney. But I mean, come on. Do we feel that bad for Britney? Because Britney, I feel like, already knows who Jax was. She already knew, like, we've already been through the faith stuff and the unfaithful stuff. Like, no, I'm not surprised. I'm really not surprised that this is how their marriage ended. I called it from the beginning. I said, if they ever return to reality television, their marriage will be over. And here we are, confirmed by Jekyll and Hyde Janet. There we go. Danny and Nia are in love and drama-free, so super boring. I know, but that's what we love. Well, I mean, I don't know. They are real boring. Brittany wanted to be famous, and she did. You know, she got it. Cameo is reminding me to tell you guys that there's a Mother's Day sale going on right now on the Cameo until it says, when does it? Oh, sorry, guys, the campaign ended. Why did I get a notification for it then? That's strange. Sorry, guys, there was a Cameo promo that has recently ended, but they literally just text me and they're like, don't forget about the promo. It was a 20% off promo, but I guess I don't have a 20% off promo for you guys anymore. But if you want to book a Cameo for your mom for Mother's Day, I'm right here. Hi, it's me. I'm the problem. It's me. You can book it right now on Cameo. You can just either search Zach Peter on Cameo for a personalized message, or I believe my handle on there is Just Plain Zach. So it'd be like cameo.com/JustPlainZach. So if you want a personalized message from me for your mama, for somebody's birthday, for your friend, I mean, it's been great. I've been doing business shout outs. One person had me chew out her husband because he was being messy. And she's like, tell him he's being too messy and he needs to be less messy. And so I chewed him out on Cameo. So whatever you need me to chew out your man, you need me to break up with your man, whatever you need me to do, I'm here to do it. You want to book a Cameo for Jesse to let him know that Michelle was cheating on him? You should have booked it last year. But for the Jessies and the Michelles in your life, I'm here to deliver the news. All right. Let's get it. Book club. We will be doing book club this Sunday, guys. I know we originally had it slated for Sunday the 5th. Oh, but this Sunday's Mother's Day. Well, shit. Well, do you guys mind if it's Mother's Day and we do book club on Mother's Day? Like first thing in the morning? Well, I guess everyone's going to be out to brunch and I'm going to have to take my mother out to brunch. So maybe we'll do it on Friday the 10th. I'm going to make sure we have it scheduled here on YouTube. That way it's already there. Sorry, guys. This weekend got a little crazy. My great-grandmother, who's 92 years old, unfortunately ended up in the hospital. We were supposed to take her out for her birthday, for her 92nd birthday, and then we couldn't take her out for her birthday because now she's in the hospital, and now she can't live alone, even though she's, like, wanting to live on her own, but she's, like, literally, she can no longer. She is 92 years old. You cannot live alone at 92 years old. But she's, that woman is a feisty one. And that's where I get some of my spunk from. But she's okay. She's doing fine. She's doing better. She's recovering. My mom needed me to take my brother for the weekend or for the night. So it was just, you know, the weekend just, I was supposed to have a very relatively simple and easy weekend, but it ended up becoming a lot busier than I had anticipated. So book club will happen this Friday. I'll make sure that that gets scheduled. That way you guys all get the notification for that. And it will be the Nicole Brown Diaries, Nicole Brown Simpson Diaries by Faye Resnick. We'll get that one. So here we go. Jack's spray on hair is season MVP so far. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, there are so many treatments now for people that lose their hair. That are we still doing sprays from like 1998? Oh, Danny DeVito and Rhea. Yeah, Danny and Rhea are the ones that are still married, even though they're separated like Kyle Mauricio. They've stayed married. You know what? Good for them. What else happened? Oh, okay. Let's talk about this Teresa, John Fuda, Melissa's old nose. So somebody sent me this podcast episode from All About the Real Housewives. They have a blog, right? I believe I've corresponded with them in the past. I think they've covered interviews that I've done on the podcast, and they've covered it on All About the Real Housewives. Lovely ladies from what I know of them. I don't think I've had much personal interaction with them, but, you know, lovely ladies from what I know of them. I tried to listen to their podcast, and I got through half of it, and I was like, this drama, all of this stuff is so dumb. So I was like, I can't listen anymore. Not them specifically, but just the drama itself. Like the fact that they're even dragged into it. I'm like, this is so dumb. So we see on the premiere, which I haven't watched yet, but I have seen clips of it, that Teresa brings up some tea on John Fuda, right? She reveals it in the premiere episode of The Real Housewives of New Jersey. Okay. John Fuda has since issued a statement, which I'll read for you, and then we'll get into the this weird fucking Stan account or whatever. For a media release, John Fuda responds to Real Housewives of New Jersey castmates' attempt to disparage his character. John Fuda, esteemed entrepreneur and philanthropist, has issued a statement in response to recent attempts by his fellow castmates on The Real Housewives of New Jersey to bring up his past in an effort to cast him in a negative light. In recent episodes of Real Housewives of New Jersey, certain cast members have resorted to dredging up Mr. Fuda's past in an apparent attempt to discredit him and undermine his reputation. Despite these efforts, Mr. Fuda remains steadfast in his commitment to integrity, honesty, and personal growth. While I am not proud of every aspect of my history, I have worked tirelessly to overcome challenges and strive for a better future. I refuse to be defined by my past mistakes. A respected figure in his community. Aren't we all? Remember, Jen Shaw was a respected figure in her community, and she was helping all the homeless and the toothless, and she was saving all the gays. And then all the gays were like, we don't own her. And then now some of the gays are like, yes, queen from prison. I'm like, fuck off. So, a respected figure in his community, John Fuda has dedicated himself to numerous charitable causes and business endeavors. Okay, this is sounding real Jen Shaw right now. Sorry, I didn't read this before. I skimmed it before, but I didn't read this. I'm reading it now with you. We're living through this, you know, IRL in real time. But it does sound very, all the business endeavors. Does he have some offshore accounts in Kosovo too? Mm-hmm. His contributions to society far outweigh his mishaps of his past, and he remains focused on making a positive impact on the world around him. I'm grateful for the support of my friends, family, and fans who see me for who I am today, a person dedicated to growth, kindness, and authenticity. I will continue to rise above negativity and remain true to myself. Mr. Fuda's response serves as a reminder that everyone deserves a chance to evolve and move forward from their past, free from judgment and consideration. For media inquiries or interview requests, please contact FudaCommunications@gmail.com about John Fuda. John Fuda is a respected entrepreneur, philanthropist, and television personality known for his appearances on The Real Housewives of New Jersey. With passion for business and giving back to his community, Mr. Fuda has become a beloved figure among fans and supporters. Oh, God. Okay. Where do I even begin with this? First of all, it is 2024. Why are we still issuing 1992 press releases? Like, what in the world? Why are we do the Drew Barrymore thing and go on your Instagram and cry into the camera like a real adult? No, I mean listen, I like the Fudas. I've never met them personally, but I like Rachel Fuda. I could, you know, give or take the husband, don't really care, but I like Rachel Fuda, and I like, you know, what she brings to the show. I don't think it's that he's new to this, Christopher. I think this is just like Jersey. Like, Jersey, for some reason, is 15 years behind everybody. You know, the fact that we're still doing press releases with statements from a publicist, like, what is the, no. Like, we do Instagram apologies now, right? And, you know, we do virtue signaling on our Instagram stories. That's how we prove that we're better people, everybody. So, first of all, advice to John Fuda: love your wife on the show, like all of them. I don't dislike any of the cast members on Real Housewives of New Jersey. I like them all. Okay, number one. Number two, cut the publicist. This is like giving Teresa Giudice with her low budget attorney that like wants to be famous. No, don't do this. This is tacky, and no, you don't even need to address it in this way. Do one good podcast interview. Tell your story, let it be done, right? Make sure it's a good one and not a low-budget bunk podcast, right? Okay, that's my thoughts on his statement. His statement also said nothing, and it was very Jen Shaw-coded. When you do stuff like that, and you're like, I'm a pillar of the community, and I'm a philanthropist, and I'm this and that, and I help all the homeless and the toothless, no. Then we question you even more because you're trying to be like, look at all my charity work. Look at all my virtue signaling. Look at all this. Look at all that. I'm great. I'm great. Oh, here's me helping a grandma across the street. Here's a photo. Leak it to the press. No, we're not doing that, John Fuda. Take notes real quick, okay? Oh, the Fudas went on 2 T's last week. Okay, that's good. That's great. Fuda, love to you. This is not the way to go. Especially it feels contrived when you're trying too hard to craft a narrative, because then it feels like, you know, you're trying too hard to hide something from us. Okay. But so this now connects to Teresa. And Teresa and Jennifer have now been accused of trying to get info about John Fuda out there. And so the accusation was that Jennifer Aiden and Teresa Giudice were leaking or trying to push things to certain bloggers. I mean, blogger is a very generous term for some of these accounts because they're real low budget. They don't even have faces. They don't even have names. They'd like hide behind, you know, Bravo Leb cast photos and like call themselves Melissa's old nose or whatever. I don't really care. So the accusation is that Teresa and Jennifer wanted this information about John Fuda to get out there, so they were sending it to the blogger so that it would get online and it would be published in articles on blogs, and then they can be like, look, it's all over social media. I saw it. It's out there, which is exactly what Teresa said. Teresa said, it's all out there. It's on social media. We can see it. It's all. So, but this person, I believe her name is Gabriella, she is claiming that Teresa and Jennifer were using, I guess, her and other accounts to try and set up the Fudas. Do I believe it? Yes and no. I was trying to listen to the All About the Real Housewives podcast, which I suggest you guys actually go and listen. You can support them. I have nothing against them. Nothing against them at all. I just think the drama itself is really fucking stupid. It's another one of the... Remember Patrick Summers when he was like creating like fake DMs and he was like being stupid? It's another one of those situations. Somebody just wants attention and they want to be like... They want to feel relevant in Housewives world, but they're like just really crazy and unhinged and desperate for attention. It's people like that that like, oof. I'm like, oh, do I even have to be in the same category as them? Because I really don't want to. But so here's the thing. Do Housewives talk to fans and fan accounts and bloggers and content creators? Yes. Do they sometimes leak information? Sure. I know people are comparing it to like the Monica Garcia thing from Real Housewives and reality from Salt Lake City and reality Von Teese. But I think what Monica did was a little different because she like created a whole account. But again, I don't know. I'm starting to feel differently about the Monica situation because I do believe that her intention was to focus more on the Jen Shah stuff, but yet she did conceal this from the women and she didn't come up with this information. She didn't come out with this information up front. Whatever. But I think the Teresa and Jennifer thing, I think they do talk to fans. I think they, you know, everybody, a lot of housewives talk to fans, fan accounts, blogger accounts, whatever. They respond. They want to be friendly. They're grateful for the support, whatever. Do I believe that they were trying to use accounts to get information out there so that they can discuss it? Bravo Lebs do this all the time. They've tried to do it with me. Sometimes if the information is good, I'll still put the information out there because it's still good information. If not, I won't fuck with it. I'll be like, go find somebody else to do your dirty work. They're all playing the game at this point. Am I like shocked and like, you know, I'm not shocked by it. Doesn't surprise me. It's more like annoying that these like little Bravo fan accounts are like going out there and like trying to be like, I'm going to break the tea. And Teresa was talking to me and it was all a set of methodical plan and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, you were also participating in this. You were complicit. I don't know. I think this whole drama is so fucking stupid. It's dumb. It's dumb. And the fact that we even give these people attention is dumb. So yeah, it's just to me, really silly. So that's all. Teresa is not going to receive any repercussions for this. She's not going to be fired from it. It's not going to be a Monica Garcia situation. Is it unfortunate? Yes, but these people do these types of things all the time. Was it, you know, and whatever the John Fuda stuff, like apparently this like Gabriella person was like contacting John Fuda's ex, and it just is all very strange. Teresa's podcast, Namaste Bitches, is donezo. I did hear about that. I don't know. I know people are speculating that Teresa had a falling out with her co-host. I mean, these things happen. People have fallouts with their co-hosts. They decide to end. I mean, the other thing too is sometimes these podcasts end because their contracts with the network that they're with end. Spencer and Heidi, they had a podcast at The Ringer, Spidey's 16th Minute. Their contract ended. They left The Ringer. They pulled out. They weren't happy there. So they are trying, I believe, trying to shop around their podcast somewhere else. It's probably some insider tea that I shouldn't be saying, but like that's what happened. These things happen. It's not like Spencer and Heidi are in a controversy and their podcast got canceled or they had a falling out. Like things just happen, you know? Sometimes contracts end. Sometimes, you know, there's no need to speculate further than what it actually is, you know? So I don't know why her podcast ended. It could be a contract thing. It could be a falling out with her co-host. It could be that ratings just weren't that good, so the network decided to pull the plug on it. Or it could have conflicted with, you know, Real Houses in New Jersey now airing. You know, we've seen Tamara have to not talk about certain things because she's on OC now and she has two T's in a pod. And, you know, she's had to, you know, work around the restrictions that Bravo's put in place for having a podcast. And like, that's been, you know, a challenge. Same thing with like the Vanderpump Rules cast members where they're, you know, allowed to not tape their podcasts or not allowed to tape their podcasts at certain times or not allowed to discuss certain things. So yeah. But perfect example is Spencer and Heidi. You know, they decided they weren't happy with the Ringer, so when their contract ended, they left. Or some people just don't think that it's worth it, so they don't continue their podcasts. It's not as big and dramatic as some people seem to think that it is. So I never listened to Teresa's podcast. I didn't really know what she talked about. So yeah. Sorry, I feel like I'm giving you a whole lot of nothing. But it's just because everybody's sensationalizing things so much more than I think they need to be. Like the fan account things, everybody was like going wild with it. I'm like, this is embarrassing for this Gabriella person that was like inserting herself in all this drama and like spending so much time like investing in this. And like, yeah, I mean, do you think Teresa and Jennifer are going to address any of this? Probably not. If they do, it may be like 10 seconds on the reunion where she's like, Andy, these accounts DM us all the time. What do you want me to do? Sometimes I respond. Sometimes I double tap things. I love my fans. Love, love, love. You know? So there you go. That's what I got for you. I don't think there was any other major news that broke. But just a reminder, guys, I am going to be at Schwartz and Sandy's this Tuesday, May 7th, hosting the finale watch party. So come on out to Schwartz and Sandy's in Franklin Village. If you're in LA or you're local and you want to come on down, welcome on in, welcome on in, welcome on in. Let's hang out. You can come alone, come solo. You'll meet other friends. You'll meet other people. You'll have a good time. So come on out to Schwartz and Sandy's Tuesday, May 7th. Doors open at 5 p.m., but the finale begins at 8 p.m. And then immediately after that, we'll do a recap. We'll chat about it. We'll do like a live taping of the podcast, but IRL at Schwartz and Sandy's. So come on down. Come hang with me. I've got a lot of my other like fellow podcaster pals that are coming on out. It'll be a fun time. Come. Let's take a shot ski. There's going to be fun giveaways. There's going to be a DJ with music. It's going to be a good time. So let's get it. All right. I think that's all I have for you guys. If you want a personalized show, a personalized message from me, you can always book it on Cameo. Book it on the Cameo. How? All right. Thank you guys for tuning in to No Filter with Zach Peter. I am here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We live stream the podcast first thing in the morning on YouTube, youtube.com/justplainzach. Be sure to subscribe. If you're not subscribed, hit that subscribe button down below. Hit the like button on your way out. Leave a comment if you want to weigh in because you got a hot take. I always like to dip in and, you know, maybe respond to something if it's good. So yeah, be sure to dip into the engagement. If you want to know when we're live, you can always click that little bell down below, and that little bell button will make sure that you get the notifications that we are live or that a live is coming up. All right. Oh, thank you, Zach Daddy. Oh, Sydney, I like that. Zach Daddy. I like that name. I'm going to put that in my Instagram bio. I'm Zach Daddy now. Holla. All right, guys. Thank you. I love you. You can always follow me at Just Plain Zach all over the internet. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, please leave me a nice Apple Podcast review letting me know what you're enjoying about the show because I love that. You guys are so sweet. Let me give one of you a shout out right now. Let's see who's going to get a shout out today for sending some love on Apple Podcasts because I do love when you listen on Apple. Let's see. JC Carmona, 1985, says, longtime fan, Zach, will you be offering Apple, will you be offering Book Club through Apple Podcasts too? Nope. Book Club is an exclusive for, unless you guys want it on Apple Podcasts, maybe we'll consider that too. Unless you guys want it on Apple, but it's a YouTube exclusive, so you have to become a member of the Zach Pack on YouTube. We also have KM who says, thanks, love the honesty. Thanks for your perspective on autism. Thank you. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Have a wonderful rest of your Monday. I'll talk to you tomorrow.